I tried to stay away from it. Sometimes I was very interested to see what was happening. Mm-hmm. I would just try to stay away from it.
Anything else you can remember about Maurice at all?
Not really, no.
No. Okay. Do you know if he was a coroner's case?
There were people who left him, that's what I remember. I don't know if he was a
coroner's case. Who left Maurice? Who did you know that would come visit him?
He had friends that would come and visit him, that were like family to him. A man and a woman, the father
and
mother.
And how did it make you feel when Maurice passed away?
Not good.
And what happened from there?
I wasn't there when he passed away. I didn't work that day.
Do you remember if you worked the next day?
I might have. I know when I found out that he died, I left to see how long it took and I wrote the notes and stuff to see what it got.
Okay.
And just getting a point out to fidget with.
Yeah, no problem. Whatever you need. So after you found out he had passed, you kind of read through the documents and...
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing anything that kind of said, oh, you know...
No.
This isn't a good thing for me, or...
No.
Okay. So...
And even if I had, I couldn't have altered them.
You could have, or could...
Could not.
Okay. The next person on your list is Helen Matheson.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go from September or October to 07.
Yeah.
And then Helen was 2011.
Yeah.
What happened between those years?
I think you'll see that
there... Was there some attempts?
Okay.
In 08 and 09?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And we'll get to those.
Yeah. Okay. Helen, I don't remember a lot about. She was very quiet, very determined. Just seemed to be waiting to die.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I had that feeling that, you know, this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a bit of a fuss about her that night because she was very lucid.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how much she liked blueberry pie and ice cream.
Okay.
So on my break, I went to Walmart. I got a small blueberry pie and some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And brought it to her. And she ate three or four bites.
Yes.
And then that night, I overdosed her. Because, like I said, I had that feeling that it was her time to go. And
what do you mean by that? Do you think she was towards the end of her life at that point?
No, that she was the person to go to.
Okay. And that was in your mind, in your stomach? Where was that feeling?
In my chest area. And after I did it, I got that laughter.
Okay. When would you feel that laughter? Would you feel it right after you injected it, or once the person passed away?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
And Helen was, you did hear that she wasn't a diabetic?
No.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how much insulin would it take to kill someone
wasn't
a diabetic? Or
I don't know.
You don't know that?
No. So it was kind of hitting it.
You didn't know that as a nurse, that this amount? Or
no, there is no set amount.
Okay. And I'm just, simply just don't know that answer.
There is no set amount.
Okay. All right, so different people would react differently to different amounts, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And would it obviously make a difference if they were diabetic or not a diabetic?
Yeah. I believe she died the next day.
Okay. And it said, the doctor declared her to be palliative, and she died 2 days later.
2 days later, okay.
And do you remember how much insulin that you had given Helen?
60? I don't know.
And where would you have gotten that from?
From the same supplies I always get it.
Do you remember where Helen was in Crescent Care?
Yes, she was on the south wing, and probably about four doors down from the nurse's station, in a double room on the right-hand side. If you were facing the end, she was on the right-hand side.
You don't say a lot of negative things about Helen here. Did you get along with her okay? Did she ever do anything to harm you or?
No, she was very quiet. It was just, I got that feeling that this, you know, she's next, it's her time to go.
And her health at that point, what was her diagnosis?
She was, I couldn't tell you her diagnosis, just that she didn't get out of bed a lot and she had to be fed her food and fed her pills. So she was near her end of life.
How old do you think Helen was when this happened?
Just say about 85 or 86.
And do you remember what doctor would have, were you there when she passed away, the 2 days later?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? So you won't, wouldn't be which doctor pronounced her, even
no.
Too sure?
Once I gave the insulin overdose, unless I was there for the shift that died, I just kind of laid low and didn't, have anything to do with them.
So if you issued an insulin injection to somebody, Helen, for instance, do you remember where Helen was injected?
Probably her arm.
Okay. So, do you remember if she had a reaction at all?
A reaction?
Mm-hmm. Did you know if she confronted you in what you were doing at all? Was she able to...
She might have said, ow.
Was she used to getting insulin or needles?
I don't know
or?
If she was.
But she wasn't combative or she didn't confront you and ask you what you were doing?
No.
Okay. And you said once you gave them their insulin, did you?
I tried to stay away from it. Sometimes I was very interested to see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I would just try to stay away from it.
Okay. Would you ever go back into their rooms if while they were still alive to see kind of how they were progressing through the...
If they were my charge, yes, I had to.
Even though you had attempted to save their lives?
Yeah.
Okay. And you would, what kind of symptoms would they show? Is it different for everyone? Or?
Well, usually they'd get very diaphoretic, red. They could lose consciousness. They'd shake. Some people, one person had a seizure. I think it was just one person.
Mm-hmm.
Two people stroked right out.
Right after receiving the...
Not right after, but they stroked out.
Over time.
Actually, three people, because they believe James stroked out as well. So.
Mr. Silcox.
Mr. Silcox, yeah.
Okay. Okay. November 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Zerlinski, is that?
Yeah.
How you recall her last name being pronounced?
Yeah.
And this was at Crescent Care?
Yeah.
Okay, and you said that she wasn't a diabetic, but she had dementia?
That's right.
Okay.
But she could talk and communicate a lot.
Mary could?
Yeah, she was feisty.
Was she?
Yeah. She didn't hurt the nurses or anything. She was just very outspoken and feisty, and one night she said, I'm going to die tonight.
Mary said that?
Yeah. And I said, oh. And she said, yeah, why don't you get me into the deathbed so I can die? And I said, are you sure? And she said, yeah, put me to bed. I'm going to die. So I said, okay. And I went to the other nurse that was working with me. And she said, oh, okay, well, let's put her in the Fidus care room if that's what you want. So we did. And then I thought, well, she must be the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling inside of me she must be the next one. Because she was saying she was going to die, but there's no signs she was going to die. So I gave her an overdose of insulin. She became palliative and she died. I think within a couple of days, I think.
Yeah, so she's died in the next afternoon, is what you've made an old note here. But,
which one has the vodka in it?
No answer from him. So. Where was that in relation to where she was? Like, where was Mary in Christmas?
She was down the south wing, a couple of rooms down from the nurse's office. And we did put her in the palliative bed.
And would that be a decision that you would make, or someone else would have to make?
Together we made it.
Okay. But a supervisor wouldn't have to say, okay,
no.
Go ahead.
No, we have. We had enough autonomy that if we thought someone was palliative, we could call the doctor, tell him what was going on, move the person to the palliative bed, and get orders for palliative care.
Okay. And do you remember how much insulin you would have given Mary?
I think she may have been the first person that I gave long-acting and short-acting to together.
Okay.
I think.
And can you just, well, besides the actual obvious, in the title of the actual drug itself, long-acting and short-acting, what was the biggest difference between the two?
One drops your blood sugar right away. The other starts working through your body and dropping it gradually over a long period of time, and it just keeps dropping it.
Okay. And what would the combination of those two do together? Did you know?
I didn't know for sure, but I figured it would be much stronger than just the short acting.
Right. Okay. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You would know more than I would, but... do you remember where you injected Mary?
Probably her arm.
In her arm.
I told her it was for her pain.
And you know she was in a single room, double room?
Well, we had moved her from the double room to the palliative care room, right in her corner from the nurse's office.
So where did you inject her? In the palliative bed or
in
her?
In the palliative bed.
Okay. And she had vocalized to you that she thought that she was going to die that night?
Yeah. So I thought, okay, she must be the one. When I gave the insulin, I got that feeling inside and the laughter.
Has she ever said something to you before about wanting to die?
Not like that. No, she was like, I want to die tonight. I'm in bed, I'm going to die.
And that was new to you?
Yes.
Do you remember what shift you were working?
Afternoons, 3 to 11.
And about what time do you think you would have moved her to the palliative bed and
might have been after supper, so about 7.
And Mary ever done to harm you or
no.
Upset you in any way?
No. No, she was fun.
Okay. She was funky and outspoken.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember being present when she died?
I don't think I was.
And therefore probably wouldn't be a part of checking the boxes.
No, I didn't do the boxes for her.
Who was there to see Mary on a regular basis? Who came to see Mary?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Do you know if she had family?
Maybe a son. But I don't know.
And Mary being, we'll refer to her as your fourth victim.
Yes.
The fourth person that, that you were successful in insulin injections. How did your emotions start to feel as this kept continuing?
I kept having a lot of guilt. A lot of guilt. Mary... Well, as you'll see, after Mary was Gladys, and after Gladys there was a period of 2 years where I didn't do it. 3 years where I didn't do it.
What was going on in your life at that point?
I was trying very, very hard to get close to God, to make sure that this wasn't Him, and to just live my life, read the Bible, go to church, and not do that, because I didn't want to do it anymore. So I tried very hard. I'm still using a little bit.
The hydro mars?
Yeah.
And alcohol?
Yeah.
What was your drink of choice?
Rye.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't say it like that, but okay. I make it sound like it's, yeah, rye.
Would you?
Rye and Bailey's.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop a rye and pop down some water.
Yeah.
Yeah, rye and water.
Okay. And typically how much would you drink in a week?
In a week? Probably about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like shots of rye or?
Drinks. So I don't know.
Okay.
Kind of a shot.
Okay.
If you're going to go by shots, I know if you do a drink, so like 3 times 9, 27.
So like you'd be drinking triples?
Yeah.
Okay. How would that make you feel in combination with the hydromorphs?
I never did it with the hydromorphs.
Okay. No? It was either one or the other?
It was either one or the other.
Okay.
The booze is more just for when I didn't have the Hydromark. And if I was going out, but I didn't go out with people. I always went out mostly by myself and just, I took scratch and win tickets and took booze and
yeah.
I would drink and do my scratch and win.
Yeah. As significant and disturbing as this may be to the people that are going to hear this and learn about this, obviously there's a lot of families that we're going to contact and speak to. Although this wasn't, and I hate to classify it into different areas, but these weren't necessarily violent deaths. Like, how did, do you think these people died peacefully? Did they struggle at all?
All the people you've talked about so far died peacefully, in my opinion. And I am sorry. I'm sorry for what the families went through at the time, and I'm extremely sorry for what they're going to go through. It's awful.
If you could say something to them, what would you say to them?
What can you say to them that would matter? I'm sorry isn't enough. I should have gotten help sooner. I took something from you that was precious and was taken too soon. I honestly believed at the time that God wanted me to do it. But I know now that's not true. And if I could take it back, if I could get help sooner, I would have. And I'm sorry.
Like I said, I admire you for everything. Whether it took 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, whatever it took for you to finally get help, that's a big step.
Oh, thank you.
Right? I mean, you could have been in this situation and taken this to your grave.
Yes.
And who would have known? Right?
That's what I was told to do by a lawyer.
What's that?
Take it to my grave and not tell anybody.
So you've confided in a lawyer as well about this?
A long time ago, yeah.
Was it after all of these people?
It was in 2014 before I...
Before you went to Welland? Or
yes,
sorry, to
the Welland
Rehab Center?
Yeah, to the Rehab Center.
So you spoke to a lawyer?
I spoke to a lawyer. That she was the one who told me to get out. I need to go to the bathroom.
No problem. Just for the record, and so it's documented, I have 6:26. Let's take a break, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Cool. Where you're going.
No.
You sure?
No, I had a caramel.
Oh, did you? Perfect. Just for the record here, I have 6:30, and I'll just resume things, okay? Okay. November of 2011 at Crescent Care. It says here Gladys was a type 2 diabetic and had dementia.
Severe dementia.
Did she? Yeah. How old do you think Gladys was?
92.
92. Okay. And where was Gladys within Crescent Care?
East wing, 3 doors down from the main desk in a double room.
Okay. Do you remember her roommates at all?
No.
No. And obviously these are repetitive questions, and you might remember some of the roommates throughout as we go along here, so that's why I just keep asking the same questions. Tell me a little bit about Gladys. What was she like when you cared for her?
Well, when I first started caring for her, she was walking and talking, and she had quite the spirit. She once punched a man.
Oh.
because she overheard the nurses telling one of the gentlemen, no, you can't push your wife around, you have to come with us. And she turned around and she said, you can't treat a woman like that. Boom!
And hit the man.
And hit the man. So then we're all in a state of trying to keep them from fighting with each other and trying to keep them from hurting us.
Right.
Yeah, she was very spunky. But she went downhill fast.
Did she?
Eventually, she had dementia, didn't take her pills well, didn't eat well, very stubborn woman. And as always, one evening I just got that red surging feeling that she was going to be the one. And gave her insulin overdose.
Did you ever get that feeling outside of work?
No, never.
No? Did you ever get that feeling going to work, knowing that something was going to happen that shift?
No, it always happened at work.
So, if I were to use a phrase, spur of the moment, would it be something that you would just have that feeling come on? Or
yeah, I guess you could say spur of the moment, but it would... It usually start happening, you know, focused on one patient, and then I would feel that red surging, which is what made me think it was God. Which I'm so embarrassed.
Like I said, I'm not here to judge you, right?
I know.
Right?
I know.
You said, you explained that it was difficult for, towards the end, giving her pills. Do you remember what you were working with, the shift when you injected glass?
I believe I was working, nights or days.
Okay.
Because I know it was close to the end of my shift.
Okay.
But I did it, and the person who came on next shift, I think it was nights. So the person who came on next shift checked her all over and called the doctor and had her made palliative and started her on a pain regimen. And
do you remember how much insulin you gave her?
No, I don't.
Do you remember if it was long or short or a minute?
I think I was giving everybody a minute.
Okay, so once Mary was the first person, you said that you gave the long and the short acting to.
Yes.
And then following that, it was
everyone
from there forward. And that was, at Crescent Care.
Yeah.
Was that insulin taken from the same location as you always would?
Yes.
Okay. Is there cameras in the
bedroom? No.
No?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
Okay. So you could access whatever you like and...
Well, not whatever you like, but yeah.
But the insulin, because
you
said they didn't even keep track of it.
The insulin, the insulin you could get Valium, you could get, like, injectable Valium. It was fairly easy to take meds from there.
I was going to ask you a question about waiting a bit down the road. You know how long it took for Gladys to die?
I believe she died the next afternoon, or that afternoon.
And do you know if you were present for that?
No, I was not.
So therefore wouldn't have been a part of the process of the pronouncing and checking the boxes?
No. When someone's dying, it seems like it takes longer than it does.
Mm-hmm.
If you're around, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you know that.
Thank you. As far as Gladys goes, do you remember if you worked the next day to learn about Gladys' death? Or?
I think I worked 2 days later.
Okay.
I think I worked the day after her death, whenever that was.
Okay. What would play through your mind on your days where you inject? So Gladys, for instance, you inject her. You worked nights, it says here, so 11 till 7. You did this at 5 o'clock. You go home and carry on about if you have 1, 2, 3 days off, whatever the case was. What was going through your mind on those days off? Were you thinking, when's Gladys going to die?
I would wonder if she had died. I would wonder, you know, if this would be the time I would get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was I going... Every time I walked in after somebody passed away, I always wondered, is this the day I'm going to get caught?
Mm-hmm. What kind of consequences play through your head? Like, I'm caught and the gig's up. What kind of consequences do you think you're going to face if that were to happen
fired,
back in 2011?
Fired, jail, no more nursing license. That's exactly what I'm looking at now. Although I took myself out instead of being fired, but
right.
Jail and no more nursing license.
As far as in 2011, though, and having that feeling, like, when did those feelings start to say in your mind, like, I wonder if this is the time I'm going to get caught?
Probably every time.
And Gladys, do you think, did she have a reaction when you injected her?
She fought a little bit.
Did she?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Like, she struggled around, so I kind of fought on her leg that I could do where she couldn't reach me and pinch me.
Okay. Would that be something difficult if you were giving her medication? She'd like to pinch?
Pinch, scratch, feel uppermost.
Is that common medications?
And, like, even the PSWs who had to change her product, sometimes she'd fight them and scratch them and pinch them and twist their hair, and, yeah.
Do you think that played into any part of your actions with Gladys, particularly with Gladys?
I don't know. I think some of it did, you know, the stubbornness and stuff, and, yeah, just kind of, okay, you're the next one to go. But again, there was always that red surging that I identified with God telling me, this is one. Yeah, this is how you work for me.
Did you ever try and fight that feeling?
Later on, as you'll see.
But when you got that feeling in your chest and stomach, would you directly go to get the insulin?
Pretty much. As soon as I had time with the rest of my job.
How many patients would you be caring for on one shift?
32.
You'd be responsible for all 32?
Yeah, 32.
So each nurse would have 32?
Yeah. Nurse, our registered practical nurse, registered practical nurse.
Okay. So that's a busy day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked about it earlier, but again, just to revisit that, do you think that's something that played into this?
I think
the
so.
The stresses of the job?
I definitely think
so. Because you had a lot going on in your life.
Yeah, I definitely think the stress played into it. Maybe made my mind more susceptible to stuff.
Did you ever go to work intoxicated by alcohol or drugs at all?
No.
Did you ever use at work?
Yeah.
The hydromorphs?
Yes.
Often?
Probably once or twice a week.
And when you were at Crescent Care, where would you get the hydromorphs from?
Oh, there's a number of ways you can get them.
Right.
You can sign off that somebody won the PRN and take it instead.
Okay.
You can take them their regular medication, and if they're not able to identify it, take it instead.
Okay.
You can take the regular medication that's in capsules, and if they are able to identify it, open the capsule, take the stuff out, put the capsule back together again, give them the empty capsule, take it yourself.
And how would you typically ingest the hydromorphs?
I just swallowed it. I never shot it. I never snorted it.
Yeah. Okay. And do you remember how much you gave Gladys?
Of the insulin?
Mm-hmm.
I think I gave her 80-60.
Okay.
I think.
And her reaction after she kind of pinched and struggled a little bit with you?
She relaxed, and then by the time the next nurse came on, she was red, she was sweating, she was incoherent. Her vital signs were all down.
And how do you know that?
Because I was just leaving when the next nurse came on, and she, PSWs came to her and said something's going on with Gladys, and she said, come with me, we have to go check on Gladys.
And
so, yep, so I actually helped her move Gladys to the palliative care room.
Okay.
Scared out of my gourd the whole time that she was going to say what something I did.
Okay. Was she still able to communicate at that point?
No.
Okay. Do you remember what nurse that was that you moved?
Karen? I don't remember her last name. If I sat for a minute, I could probably remember.
Okay. Well, if it comes to you, might just be one of those things that pops in your head in a few moments, right?
Yeah. Rutledge.
Karen Rutledge?
Yeah.
She's still there?
Yep, as far as I know.
Okay. Mrs. Helen Young. So this is where you have a bit of a gap again.
Yeah.
2011 to 2013 with your successful injections. But there was, and there wasn't even any attempt.
No. No, in November 2011, I came home from a cruise of the Caribbean, and I was feeling guilty. I was feeling damned. I was feeling confused. I was feeling like I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was feeling like if I could somehow connect with God strongly enough that I wouldn't do it anymore. And so I spent a lot of time reading my Bible and praying and deciding I just wasn't going to do it anymore. So I had the odd urge to do it, but I resisted by going to church, reading my Bible, praying, and telling God I didn't believe Him that He wanted me to do it anymore.
What church were you going to that one? So as far as fighting off that, would you still have that feeling, like that burning feeling?
Sometimes, but I did a lot of praying about it, and I just did a lot of praying, reading my Bible, getting very involved in my faith, getting very involved in my church.
Right. Okay. And obviously, with what you've told us so far, that it helped,
yeah.
What you've documented.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we need to be aware of that happened in between those times?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I didn't tell anybody or anything like that.
Okay. Except for the pastor, sorry, what did you
That do? Was, I told him after Helen Young.
Okay.
He was after Helen Young.
I'm just going to turn this off because it keeps vibrating. And I apologize for that.
That's okay. I may fart and I'll have to apologize for that.
There we go. So that was after Helen. Right. Okay. So Helen was at Crescent Care. Where was Helen's room?
She was on A side. I had been transferred to A side, which is a new unit, relatively new, 10-12 years old. I was on the first floor. I was the charge nurse for the first floor. And she was in the room closest to the nurse's station.
Okay. Where was A? Was that like if I, for me going to Crescent Care, would it be closer to Fife or closer to North Ave?
Okay,
side or?
So there's the retirement home. There's the wall that joins the retirement home to the nursing home. There's North Wing. There's South Wing. There's East Wing. And then down at the end of the hallway of East Wing is Unit 1 and Unit 2 in the building right on top of each other.
And what was the purpose of that area of Crescent Care?
Oh, it was all single rooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Helen was in her own room?
Helen was in her own room, yeah. It was all single rooms, that area.
All right. And Helen was a type 2 diabetic with dementia?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about Helen.
Helen was miserable. She frequently yelled out, "Help me nurse." She frequently yelled out, "She wanted to die." She just was not happy with her life. She would wheel around in her wheelchair saying, "Help me nurse, help me nurse, help me nurse, help me nurse." And when you went to help her, what do you want to help with? Nothing. Get away with me. Go away. Help me nurse, help me nurse. Didn't want to eat, didn't want to drink. Very difficult to deal with. Constantly would yell out, or would say, "What do you want to help with?" "I want to die. Why can't you help me die? I want to die." And one night, it was like something snapped inside, and that red surge came back, and I thought, okay, you will die. So I gave her a shot. I came up to her and said, "This is for your pain." And I gave her a shot of long acting or short acting. And she started to settle down. And then later on, we put her into bed and I gave her more of the insulin. I think it was long acting. She had a seizure. She turned red. She was diaphoretic. The PSWs called me to the bedside. I took all of her vital signs, and I pretended to take her blood sugar. I said, oh, it's normal. Don't worry about it.
How did you go about that with people beside you?
They're PSWs. don't let anybody see that part of
PSWs?
The...
PSWs?
No, but what I mean by that is PSWs, nurses focus on the meds
right. And
treatment.
Okay.
PSWs focus on, like, they were busy. They were busy washing her. They were busy changing her. They were busy dealing with the fact that she was having diarrhea. They were not doing the part of the job I was doing.
Right.
So they never would have noticed.
Sorry.
Where's my burger? So they never would have noticed me not taking the blood sugar. Because I took her, like, I did her pulse, I did everything else. So they wouldn't have noticed that I didn't do that because they were busy with everything else.
And you just...
And I just said, blood sugar's good, 5.6, she's good.
Which is a number that, in your mind, you knew was average and nothing concerning the 5.6 or whatever you said.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what shift you were working at this point?
Afternoon. I was straight through to 11. At that point, I was straight through to 11 on that ward.
Okay.
That started just a little bit before that.
Yeah. And that would have been an individual room, as you said?
Yes.
And do you remember when Mrs. Young died?
1 to 2 days afterwards.
Okay. And do you know if you were present for them?
No, it wasn't.
Was there a different procedure at all when people passed away in that wing opposed to where you were prior to?
No, it was all the same nursing home. It was all the same policies. It was just that nursing home was, that wing of the nursing home was built to accommodate the fact that the owner took over Narvilla
okay.
in Norwich.
Okay.
So everybody from Narvilla got moved to the new part of the nursing home.
Okay,
gotcha. So that's the other reason. And then eventually they all got mixed together.
Right. Okay. So being that it had been a few years then, when you injected Mrs. Young, and you were successful in causing her death. How did it make you feel after those few years that these urges and these feelings had come back?
I felt horrible. I felt angry at myself. I felt like I had failed myself. I felt like God had failed me.
Mm-hmm. Did you continue to practice in the church?
I continued going to church, yes.
Did you believe in it as much as...
I did, but I was getting very confused. So it was soon after that I went to the pastor and told him what had happened. And he prayed over me, and because he said that was the last thing he would have thought of me, and his wife was there too, and they prayed over me. And they said to me, now this is God's grace, but if you ever do this again, we will have to turn you into the police.
And where would that conversation have taken place?
In their house, at their kitchen table.
And I kept going to their church.
And how detailed did you have the conversation?
Oh, I told him that I was taking people's lives by giving them insulin and addresses.
What were you specific with names? How much insulin when you were doing this?
No.
How many people?
I don't know if I told him how many people did, but I was doing it and wanted to stop.
And his response was to pray for you and pray over you.
Yes, put his hands on me and have him put his hands on me and pray.
What religion did that church practice? Okay. Did Helen have any family that you recall that would come
to
church?
Yes, she had a niece that loved her very much and was there at least twice a week.
Did you ever converse with her?
Before she died, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How old was she?
I'd say in the late 50s, early 60s.
The niece,
yes.
And then Helen or something?
90.
Alright. Did you speak to her following Helen's death, her niece?
What?
Okay, what was that?
I think it was a day or two after when she was gathering her stuff, and she cried on my shoulder and thanked me for being a good nurse.
And again,
guilt, shame, anger, like I had betrayed her. And not that I was betrayed, but betrayal, that I betrayed her.
And did you display any emotion at that point to her?
I just, you know, gave her a hug back and said I was so sorry. But at that point, I was getting very confused about was this God and was it not.
And when you resumed doing this, did you have any, besides the religious feelings that you were having, did you have any other personal feelings in your mind as far as knowing the difference between right and wrong again?
Yes, I knew the difference between right and wrong. But I thought this was something that God or whoever wanted me to do it. And
so
starting at that point to doubt that it was God.
Okay. When you resumed doing it?
Yeah.
Was anyone working with you on that day that you can recall?
The PSWs, but I don't remember their names.
Okay. How many would have there been?
Three.
Okay.
There would have been students, too, I think. But I can't remember.
And there would have been 32 patients in that wing as well?
Yes.
That you're responsible for? Okay. March of 2014. This is Marine Victoria Ann Crescent Care.
Yes.
Tell me about Marine.
Marine was a handful. She would attack other patients. She would pull their hair. She would hit them. She would pinch them. Eventually, it was decided that she needed a one-on-one staff. So sometimes they would book an extra PSW to be with her. Sometimes someone will come from the outside to be with her. But when one wasn't available, it was the role of the charge nurse. And that was nuts. Sorry. That's just absolutely nuts. So, she just got harder and harder to look after. And one night when I had to look after her, I got this idea. I thought, you know, I'm starting to get the feeling of that surge again. I thought, no, I don't want her to die. But if I could somehow give her enough of a dose to give her a coma or something to change her brain waves, maybe make her less, you know, maybe make her less mobile, hard to handle, less handle, hard to handle.
Right.
So, yeah, so I overdosed her.
And was that in the same wing?
Yes, she was right across. She had gone into the room that Helen had been in. Yeah, she was right across from the nurse's station.
And as well, obviously, a single room at that point.
Yeah. That night, she stroked. She had a severe stroke. She went to the hospital. And when she came back, she was there at the nursing home for a few days, and she died. But before she came back from the hospital, I was fired from Crescent Care for medication errors that had nothing to do with this.
When you got transferred into this A wing, did you still get the medication the same way? The insulin the same way?
Yeah, because there's insulin purchase there.
Okay. And so, sorry, Marine, Mrs. Pickering was transferred from Crescent Care to the hospital.
And then
back
to Crescent Care. Yeah.
What was the time frame there? Do you remember?
2 days, I think.
And
but they knew that she was totally vegetative when she came back.
So she was basically coming back to pass away in the Crescent Care.
Yeah.
Was she put in palliative care when she returned?
No, because she had her own room.
Okay.
The palliative care room was for people who didn't have their own room.
Right.
So that families could go and be with them.
Okay.
And not, you know, not disturb the other residents and not be disturbed by the other residents.
Right. Do you remember how much insulin that you gave to Mrs. Pickering?
It was a lot. I'm going to say 80 long-acting and 60 short-acting, something like that. It was a lot of insulin.
Why so much to her?
Wasn't sure if she would die or not. And I really wanted to make sure that she, their mind was changed a bit before she came after.
So the insulin caused her
a stroke.
A stroke and then the reason to travel to the hospital.
Yeah.
Do you remember any reaction from her when you were rejecting her?
No, none at all.
Do you remember what type of, sorry, I apologize, what part of the body that you injected her?
Her.
Left, right?
Left. Left up.
And no reaction?
The first time I gave it to her, she said, hey, what was that for? And I said, that's your vitamin injection.
Which is, like you said, that you would typically tell people?
Yeah.
Okay. How long in between when you gave her the next dose?
Probably an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And that was about, what time did you say, sorry?
Oh, I don't know.
You were still working in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, 8 or 9 at night.
Okay, yeah, it says here that at 8 o'clock, you gave her 80 units of blood napkin last night.
Yeah.
Did Ms. Pickering, do you recall any family that she had?
She had two friends that came and saw her a lot. She had a boyfriend that was on the stair.
Okay. How old was she?
82.
How old was her boyfriend?
Oh, I have no idea.
No?
No.
But he would call her to visit.
He would come to visit, yeah.
Was there any restrictions on visiting practices at all? Certain hours?
Basically, no. If they wanted to come late at night, they had to let us know.
Okay.
So we could let them in and out.
Okay.
And that was more for palliative people.
Right.
But no, there was no real restrictions. I mean, there was the odd patient who had a restriction, like they can't leave the building with this person, or they can't leave the building with that person, or so-and-so shows up, call the police, that person.
Do you remember if you were present when she passed away?
I was not. I'd already been fired.
Okay, so sorry, between the time that she... When were you fired?
Late March, early April.
Was it when she was at the hospital? Or did she come back?
She had come back and then I was fired.
And then she... lived for a few more days.
Yeah.
You were fired in the meantime.
Yeah.
And she passed.
For something that had nothing to do with her. And my timeline may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been February.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that... by the middle of April, I was working again at Meadow Partners staying home.
It happened on...
Yeah.
What was the cause of your firing then, sorry? There was a medication or something?
I had had a few medication errors. And strangely enough, not on purpose, one of our residents was missing her long-acting insulin that she got at supper.
Okay.
And it was coming from pharmacy, but I wanted to make sure she got her insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So I took insulin from another person who I thought was the same insulin, but it was short-acting.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave her a seizure because she wasn't used to it. And she was okay. We helped her and she was all right. But when they figured it out, I was fired because I had had other medication errors as well. No, different things. Eye drops, just a lot of different stuff.
And what do you think that was a result of?
What, med-air?
Mm-hmm.
The workload. Yeah.
Was it anything to do with, were you still using it at this point?
You know what, I never made a work trip. I never made an error when I was using it at work. Never.
Just had you focus.
Yeah.
Did you ever commit any of these deaths in your using?
No. None of them.
So no med errors, no deaths.
When I was using
it. You're using it. It's all the feeling in your chest and your stomach and
yeah.
Your sore.
The searching and And then the laughter afterwards, which was really... It was like a cackling from the pit of hell, if that makes sense.
Did the cackling continue when Mrs. Young was injected with insulin? After that 2-year break?
Yes, it did.
Same cackling.
Same feeling, same cackling.
So then did you work anywhere between Crescent Care and Meadow Park?
No.
Okay, did you go directly from one to the other?
Pretty much, within a month.
Okay.
And would those medication errors be documented in a reference letter, or
no?
Were you made aware of anything like that at Meadow Park? Would you be aware of the reason why you were
I told the person that hired me at Meadow Park. She told me she had found my resume somewhere, but I never applied to Meadow Park.
Oh, really?
But she had found my resume somewhere, and she called me because they needed a nurse.
Oh, okay.
So when we did our interview, her name was Heather, I forget your last name, she's not there anymore. When we did our interview, she said to me, why did you leave? And I told her, I said, I'll be absolutely honest with you, I was fired for MedAirs. And she said, well, tell me about them, and I did. And she said, okay, well, I believe in second chances, so you're hired. Full-time afternoons, and it was a one-year contract.
Okay. And how long were you unemployed for then?
A month.
Just a month?
Yeah.
Okay. And would you commute back and forth? Did you still live in Woodstock at the time?
I still live in Woodstock, and I commuted back and forth.
For straight afternoons?
Yeah.
What was that? What were the hours for the straight afternoons?
Either 6:30, no, sorry, either 2:30 to 10:30 or 3 to 11.
Okay.
I'm not sure which it was.
So when you got to Meadow Park, what was the difference as far as the workflow of the patients that you were responsible for? Were
no difference.
Similar?
It was extremely similar. The only difference was that the RPNs would do the, if there were dressings that had to be done at night, they'd do the dressings on the people at night that were my people.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah.
And your supervisor at that point at Meadow Park, was that the same person that hired you, Heather? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was the nursing supervisor.
Okay, so she'd be your direct supervisor.
Yeah.
Okay. So, RPAD or RTORVAP?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about it.
He was mean. He would grab the nurses and these and PSWs. Whenever they were trying to do things for me, he would grab them, he would twist their arms, he would punch them. Very difficult to do care for. And one night I just got that surgery and I thought that you need to go.
Had he done something on me?
No, not really. Just been his normal self. And he fought the first needle. And then the second needle I got in. And I forgot something about Maureen. I had given her a dose of whatever we dosed her with to calm her down before I ever gave her the insulin. Forgot about that. So I had done that.
So
is that in
the,
there?
About Maureen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had given her a sedative dose before I ever gave her the insulin.
Oh, you said you gave her Haldol?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you recall doing that?
Yes, I did.
And then the two insulin injections?
Yeah.
Did it calm, did the Haldol calm her? Do you remember?
No, it didn't. So ART, I gave a large amount of short-acting, a large amount of long-acting in between each other. And then when I left for the night, he was still okay. When I came back the next day, and work, they said that he had had a stroke, severe stroke, and gone to the hospital. And the nurse that I talked to, who'd been on the night before, she said, do you know how low his blood sugar was? And I said, how low? And she said, oh, like 1 point something. And then she said, but you know what? I went home and I did some research. And sometimes having a bad stroke can make your blood sugar go low.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she said to me.
That was odd, too.
Yeah, that was odd. But, yeah, so he lived for a couple of days and then he passed.
Do you remember what nurse that was? It
was the night nurse. Was a short Filipino lady. That's what I remember.
It's okay. And do you remember what time of the night that you had injected her?
I'm going to say 7:30 and then 9:30.
His reaction to it?
He fought it.
Did he?
Yeah, but he fought everything.
Okay.